Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.
Welcome again into the house of the Lord. Yesterday was a wonderful day in God's house. I know at many, many churches as we worship the Lord, and it's so wonderful to have the freedom to worship. You know, many people in other lands don't quite have that, and they do it at risk of their very own lives, and we're not those people. So how much more should we come, and should we take advantage of that? This is going to be our conclusion tonight, and I'm going to do some strong, heavy review on this topic, demons of darkness that we had been studying. I would title this, Satan, You've Met Your Match. So our key verse, you know, was Ephesians 6:12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, people, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness. And so, by way of review, this verse is giving us instruction and information and also instruction. Our fight is not with other people. Sometimes we do fight other people, and sometimes Christians also do the same, likewise. But our fight is not supposed to be with people. In fact, I would like to put it like this. We should be fighting for people and not against people. Our fight is with an unseen enemy, and do not ever make the mistake of believing that he's not real simply because he is unseen. He is real. We have a real adversary, and we're going to talk about that. As we begin, I want to say that one of the best defenses against evil and the enemy is this. One of the best ways to fight evil is simply by honoring Christ and the cross, receiving communion, and honoring the blood of the Lamb. And to keep continually serving Jesus and working in the kingdom. Because I would say it like this, it's hard to hit a moving target. Idleness is not used to your advantage, is it? Not in the kingdom of God, no. It is harder to hit a moving target. I said before, and I'll say it again, the enemy is not wise, but he is cunning, he is proactive, and he is also subtle. One of the funny things, Sandra, is that Sandra gave a party for our granddaughter Grace yesterday, and you've seen pictures online of the beautiful celebration and all of the, we went to Uncle Julio's and the beautiful Hispanic decorations, and she put up a banner, a beautiful, looked like a Hispanic banner, and later looked at the picture and said, it has skulls on it. It has skulls on it. Our banner that we hung yesterday for our Christian graduation had skulls on it, and we did not notice it until Sandra took it back today. Did you notice it, Gio? Someone did? Oh, there's the banner right there. She's got a picture of it on the screen. Look at it. It's got skulls on it. That was our decorations. I said, do we have any more voodoo decorations, Dan? You know? I'm telling you, the enemy is subtle. He is subtle in the message. And, you know, an angel of light, isn't it? You know, come celebrate me. It didn't affect us because no weapon was formed against us. But Satan loves to have people believe. He would like you to believe that demons or the devil are not real, but they are fictional, which is false. And he also likes us to believe the opposite, that everything is a demon. Oh, there's a demon in the chair. You got a demon. She's got a demon. He's got a demon. He likes us to major on that, too. I also said don't get your theology from Hollywood or by seeing The Exorcist. I want to begin by going over some review. Who and what are demons? Number one, demons are created beings. And I said this, there are four types of angels. God created the angels as beings to obey him. There are messenger angels, worshiping angels, warrior angels, and there's a fourth class called fallen angels. And you should never seek an angel or say, look, I command the angel to come to me. I'm looking for an angel to, or pray to an angel, because the devil will oblige by sending you an angel, a fallen angel. That's a fourth category. So there are messaging angels, there are worshiping angels, there are warrior angels, and the fourth category is fallen angels or demons. Now, I want to also tell you that they were cast out of heaven, the angels who rebelled against God. And now these demons are disembodied spirits who are looking for a body to inhabit. Demons are disembodied spirits. When God wants to do a work in his kingdom, he works through people, right? When the devil wants to do a work in his kingdom, he works through people, disembodied spirits that are looking for someone willing, someone to inhabit. Now, I want to say, this is review. A thief or enemy can do damage outside your home. However, if he comes in through an open door or window and he's in your home, he does much greater damage. An enemy who gets inside your home, and it doesn't matter who left the door open, what window was open, there's all kinds of ways, but he's looking for opportunity. The enemy is an opportunist. And that's why the Bible tells us to give no place, no opportunity to the devil. So 1 Peter, we're going to go over that one more time. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, your enemy, the devil, walks around as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. What does this mean? Now, here's the thing. It means be vigilant. Don't be sloppy in your Christianity. Don't be stupid and don't be sloppy. Why? Because you have an enemy, the devil, and he's looking for whoever he can get. But think about this. He's looking for prey, but I never realized before that there is a hidden message in this verse. He's looking for whomever. That means he wants anybody, right? Wait a minute. Let me tell you who anybody is. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the real person he's looking for is you. Your adversary. There's two things in there. He'll take whoever he can get, but who he's really looking for is you. He's your enemy, your adversary. Don't think that the devil's just after somebody else who's a better Christian. No, he's after you. You have an adversary, and he's looking, and he's hunting. He's on the hunt. And so we need to understand that we should be sober, and we should be alert. Now, you know, most of you know by now, since I'm a pastor, and believe me, I don't care. I'm going to say this 100 times. I don't care if you have a glass or two of wine. I'll sit with you while you have wine. I do so with friends all the time. But my standard as a minister of the gospel, having worked with the homeless and people who are controlled by alcohol, I don't personally drink alcohol. Now, I've never been officially drunk except for cough syrup. Can I tell you that a couple of tablespoons of cough syrup causes me to be literally non-functional? And let me tell you, I'm pretty sure this verse that says be sober, that I'm better off sober. I can tell just by just being under the influence of Vicks cough syrup. I can tell you, I'm better off. I'm in no shape to fight the devil when I have cough syrup. None. So I'm pretty sure that I should obey this verse. And here, let me read 1 Peter 5:8 from the message. It says this, keep a cool head about you. Stay alert. The devil is ready to pounce, and he would like nothing better than to catch you sleeping on the job. Did you hear that? He's ready to pounce, and he would like nothing better than to catch you sleeping on the job. 2 Corinthians says in 2:11, so that Satan will not outwit or outsmart you, for we are familiar with his evil schemes. And understanding that we know what he's up to is what this means. We understand that he is up to no good. It's evil. We understand that he's going to lie. Now, I want to say again, demons are not people. That's why it says we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, the unseen enemy. Your father, your mother-in-law is not a demon. Your husband and your wife are not the spawn of Satan. They are created in the image and the likeness of Jesus Christ, of God. They are not. So it's not people. Now, interestingly, I want to prove the point that a demon is not a person. Jesus Christ did not one time ever address a demon as a he or a she. Did you know that? He said he called demons an it. They are disembodied spirits. Let me read you Matthew 8:16. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it, not he came out of him, not she came out of him, but it came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Is there a word in this verse that does not seem to belong? Does anybody know what it is? Child. Child. And I'm going to address this. God is no respecter of persons. He can use a child, can't he? Yes, he will. God can use children. Guess who else can use children that are untrained, not taught, and if you leave your child to the devil, he will take advantage of that. Now, I'm going to address that a little further going down here. They are demons. We should not be afraid of demons, but they are afraid of God. Let me read to you James 2:19 to prove that point. I will never tell you something I cannot support with Scripture. You believe there is one God, good. Even the demons believe. Did you hear that? The demons believe and they tremble in terror. So you don't have to be afraid and you don't have to tremble in terror. Let them tremble in terror. Let them be afraid. And I want to begin by saying again tonight that Jesus never one time asked demons to leave a person. God cast Lucifer and a third of the angels out of heaven, and when Jesus came to earth, he continued the ministry of casting out demons. They got cast out of heaven by God. Jesus continued the ministry of casting out demons, and what did he command us to do? Cast out demons, us too. So demons, now another thing is, not only did Jesus not ask the demons to leave, he did not pray for the demons to leave. He did not stop and pray. Remember I told you a story about how long ago a man tried to enter our house and Dave went to the front door and met him at the front door? Dave did not stop and say, I will now pray that you might leave. He cast him out of our home because the man was a trespasser trying to enter our home. And you know what's good? To meet the devil right head on. Don't wait till he gets in your house and is doing damage. Dave met him at the front door. There's a lesson there because that home did not belong to him. He was a trespasser. I want to stop and say something else about that incident that hit me later after I taught this a few weeks ago. That night that that happened and that man tried to come in our home and broke our door, I was in our home and so were our three girls. And this is something I want you to always remember. When Dave cast out that man, he was protecting not just his property, but the people that he loved. I'm telling you that hands off, devil, of my property, my finances, the people I love, and everything that I possess, hands off in Jesus' name. And so he was protecting us. And here's what I want to say to you and I tonight. If you will deal with the devil and you will give him no place and no authority in your house, you will be protecting your possessions, your person, and your family. And let me say it like this. You should cast out the devil so your kids don't have to cast him out. You get rid of him. Don't wait till your kids have to battle those same old demons of alcohol and drug addiction and all that garbage. You tell the devil to get packing so your children don't have to. You need to rise up. I need to rise up and say, as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. You get to choose who you serve. If you are a homeowner, you get to choose who comes in the house and lives there and abides there, and you get to choose who leaves the house and who gets evicted from the house. And the devil needs to be evicted from our house. Our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, from our mind, from our heart. One of the things that I like to say is we are told to guard three things. You are told to guard your heart. You are told to guard your mind, your heart and your mind and your mouth. Three things that we are to guard. Guard your mouth. Don't let anything unclean come out of your mouth. Guard your mind. Guard your heart because that's where you get trapped up. And we should not let any filthy thing enter our heart or our mind at all. And I want to say this, and you can say whatever you want. You can think whatever you want because you don't have the microphone tonight. Stop watching horror movies. Stop watching torture stuff. Stop watching things that Jesus wouldn't do. Don't bring those things into your house. One of the ways to cast out the devil is to get rid of those CDs and those movies and shut that computer down. Get a lock on that computer. Don't open those things. Don't open your mind to that kind of stuff because it stays with you a very long, long time. Joyce Meyer says the battle is in the mind, and she is right. That's where it begins. Now, I want to go over this again. I want to tell you that, and I believe this, and I also looked over several of the teachings of the Church of God tonight and also the teachings of the AG teachings on this, and they believe very similar to what I believe. Good for them. No, good for me. Just a joke. But I believe this with all my heart. That the Holy Spirit will not cohabit with Satan and an ungodly spirit or demons and devils. And I do not believe that a blood-bought, redeemed Christian can be possessed by the enemy. In other words, I don't believe that the devil can have a person, but I believe the person can have a devil. Now, I want to explain that a little bit. A Christian can have a demon, but a demon cannot have the Christian. And here's how it works, because the word possession means ownership. The devil cannot own you because you are owned, you are bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, here's the thing. I can have a terrible neighbor that can harass me, but that neighbor doesn't own me. He doesn't control me, but he can do damage. He can harass me unless I stop him. And a believer can open a door to the enemy through disobedience to God's word. The Bible says rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. So a believer can have a demon, be harassed by a demon, be demonized, but the demon does not own the believer. But are there people who are possessed today? Yes, there are. If you see a school shooter, as I said, go into school and shoot 50 people, that person is absolutely 100% possessed by the devil. A thief may enter a home through a open door or window, but that doesn't mean he possesses the home. It means he needs to be cast out and evicted by the owner of the home. Through Christ, we have been given that authority. And I said last week, there are some things, when we see people doing things that are out of order, that are ungodly things, horrible things, you will hear someone say one of two things many times. Whatever possessed them to do that? Interesting question, isn't it? It's more like whoever possessed them to do that. The second question is, someone might say, whatever got into that person? What do you think got into that person? Another good question, what got into that person? What door was left open? Now, I want to tell you this, whether you like it or not, I didn't like it when I read it, but it's the truth. The Holy Spirit comes by invitation, but demons come by invitation also. You may not openly say, demons come into my life, although I want to stop here and say that there are many devil worshipers and people that do exactly this. They will bring the devil in by invitation. How dangerous is that? You're going to have a hard time getting somebody to leave that you've invited in and that has been in. The harder someone becomes a squatter in your house, the longer they're there, the more likely they are to continue to stay. And the first thing, I have known people who did this, but it's one of the things we need to do is close all doors to sin in our life. I want to say some things, and I'm just going to read them as I wrote them, I feel, by the Holy Spirit today. Do you know there are phone calls that you should never take because you're talking to the devil? Do you know there are invitations you should never accept? You should never have went for coffee with that person. There are emails, YouTube videos that you should never open because that's giving place to the devil. And whether you realize it or not, these things are going to catch up with you and they're going to ruin your life someday. Because one video might as well be 600 videos. You know my story, and you've heard it many, many times, and my friend does not mind me to tell it. My friend Felicia has now given her testimony openly. Her son was on the worship team in Indiana, a very large church. He grew up with Sandra. He was in her eighth grade class. He carried a Bible to school every day of his life. He got in trouble for starting a Bible study at school, and my dad went to talk to the principal on his behalf. Many, many years later, he became a computer programmer. He got involved in watching adult pornography, which eventually led to child pornography. One day, when they were at home, Felicia and her son and Maria The FBI came to the door. The SWAT team came. There were 26 guys in her home. They were ripping things apart. They were grabbing things. They were taking 2, 3, 4 computers. And she was asking, what is going on in my home? All they did was show her a warrant. That's all they did. We have a warrant to all this property. It all belongs to us, whatever we want. She was asking her son, what is this all about? To which one of the FBI agents looked at Raymond and he said, it is best for you not to speak. It is best for you not to speak right now, sir. He did not say a word until they left. They did not arrest him, but eventually, oh, they did. They did. He was caught in one of the largest stings in Indiana, Illinois, and Wisconsin for child pornography, and he personally had the most child pornography that they've ever seen in the state of Indiana. He got 10 years in prison. She began to pray that he would get out of prison early. She prayed that her son would repent. He came to see Pastor Ken and I before he left for prison, and he did get out of prison early. He died. He had a heart attack in prison and died. Let me tell you, sin will take you farther than you ever intended to go, cost you more than you intended to pay. It's not worth it. But I'm telling you, there are things you should not do. There are places that you should never go. You do not belong in those places. And the Holy Spirit, you need him. You need to ask him, convict me. Make it hard for me, God. Make it hard for me. Shout at me if I'm about to do something that's going to lead me down the wrong path. Because the path of sin leads to death. It leads to hell. Did you know that there's music that you should not listen to? And it's not just all horror music. It's music you shouldn't listen to. What kind of music should you listen to? Tell me, why could you love me in the filth of my sin? The old rugged cross, that's the kind of music that you need to listen to that will feed your spirit. You should be careful who you associate with. Yes, I said it. You should be careful who you make friends with. Do you know that the Bible says, make no friends with an angry man? You can gather a spirit. You can have a familiar spirit of anger. What does the Bible say? Bad company corrupts good morals. Let me give you a personal example. One time, a couple years ago, I met a very nice man at the bank. He was helping us with our church business. He was a vice president, and he said to me, you're very wise. I think you would be a great asset here at our bank. I would like to ask you about some ideas I have to improve our community relationships. He asked if I would agree to talk to him over lunch, and I was so honored. I mean, come on, me? I'm going to help the bank? So I said yes, and I told the man, I said, I'm going to see when my brother, he's an attorney, I'm going to see if he's free, what day he's free to join us. And he said, no, I'm sorry, I don't want your brother. I want you. And of course, I said, this is unacceptable to me. I will not be able to do this. Do you know that sometimes we are one wrong decision away from the enemy getting us into a trap that will take us down to the very pits of hell? You will wish that you had never made that first wrong decision. So make decisions today that honor God. Do what Daniel did. Purpose in your heart that you're not going to defile yourself. If that means what you eat, what you drink, where you go, keep yourself safe. Guard your heart, your mind, and your mouth. Adam and Eve, they walked with God literally in a garden, yet were influenced by the devil. But they had freedom still to obey God, but they allowed themselves. And if we make these wrong decisions, we have allowed ourselves, we have no one to thank but the person in the mirror, to be seduced, influenced, and deceived. Samson did the same thing. He rebelled and he slept with prostitutes. He was sleeping literally with the enemy. I'm telling you, the woman was the enemy and he had no idea. I will say this in every teaching that I ever do on the topic of demons and darkness. There's really are still people who are possessed of the devil and demons. When you see airplanes fly into the Twin Towers, these people are possessed by devils. Shooters, you know, but I am compelled to speak this particular truth that I'm about to share every time I would teach on this topic at all. No matter, like the demoniac of Gadara, no matter how possessed someone is, and you've heard me say it, but I'm going to say it again. No one can take away your free will to worship Jesus. No demon in hell. No 6,000 legions of demons. The enemy has no authority and no power to do this. We all get to choose death and life, blessings or cursings, and Satan cannot take away our ability to worship Jesus or call on Jesus. The demoniac of the Gadareans was possessed, completely possessed. I mean, he was owned by the demons. They owned him. But who has authority over demons? That would be Jesus Christ. And the Bible says it with legions of demons in Mark 5:6 said, but when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran, not walked, and bowed down and worshiped him. We are so quick to write off people and say they are too far gone. No one is beyond the reach of the blood of the Lamb and the nail-scarred hands of Jesus Christ if they are willing. If they are not, leave them alone and let them go. Leave them alone because they will corrupt you. Be careful. But I want to say a couple other things. Greater than healing is the healer. Greater than even your salvation is the Savior himself. Greater than deliverance is the deliverer himself. Our focus should never be on what he does, but who he is. And Luke 10:17, let me give you a verse to prove that out that I think is so beautiful. Some verses, Luke 10:17-20. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us through your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven in a split second bolt. Behold, I give to you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. But he said this, and this is the good part. Nevertheless, about this rejoice not. What do you mean don't rejoice that the demons are subject to me? Why shouldn't I rejoice? Yay, the demons are subject to me. He said, about this rejoice not. This is not what you should celebrate, that the spirits are subject to you. But rather rejoice that your names are written in the Lamb's book of life in heaven. That's what the focus should be. Not that I can cast out demons. Not that I have authority over demons. But that my name is written in heaven in the Lamb's book of life. That's giving no place to the devil. Yes, go ahead and rebuke demons. That's what we're supposed to do, cast out demons. But when you cast them out, the focus should be on praising Jesus and thanking him that my name is written in the Lamb's book of life. I love this. It should be not on what the enemy does, but what on Jesus did when he died on the cross. I'm going to ask our music team to come. I am so thankful that we are told in the Bible that we are overcomers. And here's the thing. You know, people ask crazy questions. Can demons inhabit or spatially indwell a true believer? Can they walk through an open door or become a squatter? You know, we need to get our theology right straight from the Word of God. It has to be supported by Scripture. It's very, very dangerous. Like I said last week, if you go home and see videos of someone casting out demons and things, or people casting out demons, a lot of times what you're looking at is showmanship. And the demon and the expressions he does and the rolling on the floor and the crying out and stuff, that's all giving place to the devil. This is not your show, Satan. I'm sorry, this is not your show. That's not what Jesus did. He spoke directly and he commanded them to leave. He did not have people rolling on the floor and writhing on. Once in a while you will say someone cried out and that demon was gone. That was the demon. He was gone. So you know what? Don't be looking at garbage like that. Let's stick with the Word of God. Do what the Word of God says. It doesn't have to be that way. And again, we can cast the demon out of our own life. We begin to close doors. We begin to tell him to leave in Jesus' name. I am a blood-bought child of God. I am no longer going to participate in any behavior. Demons, you if you invited them in, you're the one can cast them out and say, it's time for you to go. It is time for you to go. You have no place in my life. I'm giving the authority to Jesus Christ, and I'm asking him, order my steps. I want to do what pleases God. What pleases God? And you know what? The Holy Spirit is so gracious as to convict us. One of the most wonderful things that he does is convict us. And if you're doing things that are sinful and wrong, you need to ask the Holy Spirit. I would hate to get to the place where you can become reprobate and your conscience is seared and you don't care if you're doing wrong. My heart bleeds for people like that. And all you can do is pray, Lord, open their eyes. Open their eyes.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries, a Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.